begin the current daf, begin on the bottom line of daf Yurim Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, our Gemara made a diuk from the wording of our Mishnah that said that if a person is liable for damages, if it was his negligence that caused the damage, so chavti b'tashlumi niske. The wording of the Mishnah was, so I'm liable for the supplementation of the damage. Now, the Gemara's diuk was, it doesn't say chavti bin niskai, which would sound like then you have to pay up for what you damage, shur tach asher. Rather, b'tashlu min niskai. You only have to be mashlim the damage, which the Gemara brought from three different sources to teach us the halacha of baila metabla min nevela. That means, say, the nizik, he has to deal with the dead animal carcass. So let's say it was worth 1,000, now it's only worth 200 after it got gored. The mazik has to pay up 800, and the 200 he has to hold on to. And as we said, although he could always pay with animal carcasses, you could pay with anything that's treba kesef, but the difference is from the moment of death until the completion of the court case. There's pachas nevela, there's depreciation of the value of the nevela, of the carcass, as time moves on. That depreciation is the nizik's loss, not the mazik's loss. That we know from Sukkah. And that's seemingly what the halacha of the Mishnah is saying, but tashlumi nezka is, being mashlim nezik, is only have to pay up the difference. But you don't have to, the mazik doesn't have to take the nevela and give him a brand new shur. Now that the Gemara says, let's say this halacha that we're being medayik from a Mishnah, which the Amiram brought three different sources for, that's actually machlokes tanoim, if the depreciation of the nevela is that the loss of the nizik, or maybe actually there are tanoim that say it's that of the mazik. The time like Luna Braisa. This Braisa is based on the second of the three psukim that we brought as sources for the halacha, which Rav Kahana brought this pasuk down as a source for pchas nevela. Seemingly, as we'll see, this machlokes tanoim and this braisa disagree on this concept. The pasuk says, im tarif yitarif, if the animal that the shomer sachar, the paid watchman, has been watching, if it gets killed by a wolf, let's say, so yibiyehu ate, so the pasuk says he should bring witnesses, as we continue tabi b'dalav m'dalav, says the Gemara, what does the Tanna Kama say the pasuk means to say? Yavi edim shenitra fabayinu supater, which that sounds like the little translation of the pasuk. He brings witnesses that could testify that it was something he could not have controlled. These wolves just came out of nowhere and they ate up the animal. Where the halach is at a shay masacher, he's exempt from things that are an oinus that beyond his control. As the pasuk says, umeis, if it dies, or nishbor, if it breaks a bone, or nishbor, if it gets taken in captivity, ein raya, shuas Hashem ti ben shem, if there was no witnesses, so then he swears that that's what happened, and then, why is he swearing? Because that would exempt him, because a shay masacher is exempt from oinus. That's how the Tanna Kama interprets what the pasuk is saying. Abashalim, he gives a different interpretation of the pasuk. He says, when the pasuk says, yavi aid, it's Yavi Aduda. He brings the nevela, he brings the carcass, lebesdin, to court. Now, why would he bring the animal carcass to court? It's because to evaluate how much is it worth. And that's how he interprets the pasuk. Yavi Eyu Eid is that he brings the Aduda. Because as Rashi brings, as we find in Bereshis Memtes, Babayku Yochel Eid, which means to say, the shalol, he eats the spoils, which as in general, that's the translation of shal, the interpretation is Ado. So that's how Abishal says it's actually Yavi Eid, he brings the nevela to assess the value of the nevela. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hakim mefugi, isn't this what they're arguing about? Because as Rashi explains, you can't say that Abishal is disagreeing with the halacha of the Tanna Kama itself. That to say that the Shemir Sacha would be liable even if it was killed through an einis, because we know the halacha is not. The Shemir Sacha is not liable for einsin. So what is Abishal disagreeing with the interpretation of the Tanna Kama? Must be rather as follows. The Marsav, where Abishal held, Pchas Nevela de Nizikava, the depreciation of the Nevela is the Nizik's loss. And therefore, how he's interpreting the Pasuk is, in Nitrifa, if the animal gets killed with a Pshi, with a negligence of the Shem Esachar, where therefore he has to pay up, when the Pasuk is saying, Yavi Eid, he brings the Aduda, he brings the dead animal carcass, means to say that then he has to just complement the amount of the loss, meaning the difference, what it was at the time of death. Because as Rashi points out, if it was talking about regarding assessing the value right now of Nevela, what it is right now when the court case ended, that we wouldn't need a pasuk for, because that even if the mazik had other Nevelas in his house, he could give him, because we said Yashav L'Rabbi Shav Kesev. So obviously he could give him the Nevela. So rather, what's Abishal saying that we're assessing the value of Nevela means to say we're assessing what it was at the time of death, because that's all he has to supplement for, because that pchas of the Nevela is of the Nizik. Whereas Umar, but the Tanna Kama, who doesn't learn the pasuk in this drash, in this exposition way of the of Abishal, Savar, he held that actually Pchas Nevela, the depreciation of the Nevela, is the Mazik, belongs to the Mazik, it's his loss. And therefore, he can't say that that's what the pasuk is talking about to make such a drasha, because again, as we said before, to evaluate it right now, to say Yavi Aid would mean to say you bring that dude, you bring the Nevela in court to assess it right now, that we wouldn't need, because again, we learned the Braisa, Yashav, the Rabbi Shavu Kesa, we know that halacha. We know that he could pay up with the dead animal carcass. So of course, you would assess it, how much it's worth, and then he would pay it up. But if let's say at the moment of death it was 200, now after the court case it's only worth 100, we would know that if it was originally worth 1,000, he's got to give this as 100 and then give the rest as 900. So rather, why is it that the Tanna Kamma doesn't make this drasha? It's because based on the time of death, Abishal holds that Pachas Nevela is the Nizik. So that's why we want to know how much it was worth then, so that he only has to pay up 800 and not 900 what it's worth right now. In contrast to the Tanna Kamma, he holds Pachas Nevela is the Mazik. So similarly, this halacha that we had assumed to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, we brought three Amorah sources for, similarly, it's a Machlekes Tanoim, if Pachas Nevela is the Nizik, are Baila Metablim Ben Nevela? Or do we say that no, that actually Pachas Nevela is the Mazik? The Mazik has to pay up the whole entire damages. He just wants to. He could pay with the Nevela, but again, the loss up until the court case is all his. So the Gemara says, Loi. The Kulei Amar D'Nizik, everyone holds like the Deek we had in our Mishnah, as we brought three Psukim for that, that the Pachas Nevela, the depreciation of the Nevela, is that of the Nizik. And the Baal Amar Metablim Nevela, they have to deal with the carcass. The Mazik only has to pay up the difference. But V'Hacha B'Tereach Nevela Kamifkei. Here what they're disagreeing about is not regarding the pachas of Nevela, it's regarding the effort, the exertion, the work you got to put in, bringing the Nevela from where it died over here. And that is Abishol held that it's the Mazik's job to bring it to where it has to be. Meaning the loss of it is the Nevela, is of the Nizik. But the Mazik's responsibility, let's say it fell into his pit, well, then he has to go ahead and get it out and bring it to the Nizik. And that's what he's saying, that Yavi Adud Lebezin, the Mazik has to bring it to the court. But Tanya, so do we learn in the Braisa. Achim, Aymer, the others say, Minayin shal bala bar lahala shemi bar. From where do we know that the owner of the pit, he's got to get some henchman, he's got to go ahead and pick that ox up from the bottom of the pit and bring it out. Tamalayma, that's what we learn in the Pasuk. It says, Kesev Yashav Laval, there the Pasuk in Shemais Chavav Lamadalad. The simple translation of the Pasuk is, bala bar yishalim, the owner of the pit has to pay. Kesev Yashalavalov, he has to give money back to the owner, Vamesi Eloi, and the dead animal belongs to him, which we said belongs to the Nizik. But the way the Bryce is explaining this is, Kesev Yashalavalov Vahames, he has to return money to the owner and the mess, which sounds like that even the mess, even the dead animal, he has to return to the owners, which is this halach of Abishol of Yaveh Aduda Labesin. So regarding Pchas Nevela, that they're not disagreeing. They all hold to this halacha of the Nizik. What they're disagreeing about is who is responsible to bring the Aduda, Yavi Aid, you interpret it, who has to bring the Nevela to court, who has to get out of the pit. That's the Machlekes, if it's the Mazik's responsibility or the Nizik's. Now, Amli Abayla Rava, he asks to clarify this halacha. Hai Terech Nevela Hechadami. What is this halacha that you told me that they disagree about regarding the effort of getting the carcass out of the pit to bring it back to the Nizik? And that is, Ilema de Bibir Shavi Azuz. If you're going to say that in the pit itself, it's only worth Azuz because, okay, you got to get a mover. Yeah, great piece of furniture, but it's going to cost me $1,000 just to get it to me. If in the pit it's worth Azuz, Va'aguda, but on the edge of the pit, when you finally drag it out, Shavi Arba, then it's finally worth 4 Azuz. Well, then Ki Tarach, when the Mazik goes through the effort to get it out of his pit to give it back to the Nizik, Bedinashi Tarach, he's doing it for his own gain because, we evaluate the Nevela, it's the Nizik's. Now, he's only going to have to pay up the difference from 4 and up. In contrast, if it was left in the pit, he would have to pay it from 1 and up. So why do I need a Pasuk Asabai to Rava Vahamesi that regarding Vahames, which says not only Kesav Yishlevala, but the Mesi also has to give back to him? Of course, because it's his own gain. So Amalei, so Rava says to him, Loi Tzricha, no, what's necessary for the Pasuk is the Bebira Shav Yuzuzah, in the pit, the carcass is worth 1 zuz. Vagudanami Shav Yuzuzah, and the edge of the pit is also worth 1 zuz. The location of it doesn't make a difference. Now, the Gemara said, Mia Kikai Gamna, is there really such a thing? What do you mean? The bottom of the pit, it's hard to get it. On the edge, there's no difference of price? And that Rava says, in yes. Dami Inchi, like people say, Keshura, a beam, Bemasa Bezuzah, in the city, it's worth a zuz. And Keshura Bedabra, so too, a beam in the field, even though you need some way of transporting it to the city, it's still sold Bezuzah because it has its intrinsic value. So although, yes, someone's going to have to expend effort to get it, but still there's a market value of how much it's worth. That's the same thing for the carcass. It has the same value, and therefore the mazik himself would not gain anything. That's why it's necessary for the pasuk to say, Kesev Yashval Vahames. That's the opinion of Abishol, which he learns that from Yavi Eid, which is the Bring Da Duda. It's his responsibility. But again, the Tanakhama wasn't disagreeing with that the Bechas Nevela is the Nizik. It was just who has to bring it there. Abishol said the Mazik, and the Tanakhama said, no, the Nizik has to get his own animal carcass out. It's not the responsibility of the Mazik. Now, the Gemara explains this halacha of evaluating regarding the pchas of the nevela, when the mazik damages, it says you have to give him back a complete. So we said that he doesn't have to give him back shar tachas ashar. He take your dead animal carcass. You hold on to that. I know I damaged. I owe you $800. I'll pay the rest. I don't have to give you a new ox of $1,000. So Amar Shmuel, he explains. He says that the custom of the judges is that ein shaman, we do not evaluate loy leganav veloy legazlan. Not for a ganav, which is someone that does it in private, a thief, and not for a gazan, not for a bandit, a robber, where if, let's say, somebody steals or robs an animal or a vessel, and when it's by him, by the robber, it depreciates in value. So we do not evaluate the dead animal or the broken pieces for the owner to say that the ganav has to give back the pchas, which is the difference. Rather, he has to give him back a brand new animal and a brand new vessel, and the broken pieces belong to the ganav and to the gazan. Elul nizakin. Rather, by nizakin, that's where we said that we evaluate, because that's what we said. The pasuk says v'amesi alai, that the nizik has to hold on to it. You, it's yours, and whatever depreciation is your loss too. I just have to pay up the difference. That's the halacha by nizakin. But says Shmuel, the custom of the judges, but regarding a ganav and a gazan, there's no such halacha. There he stole something worth $1,000. You got to give back something worth $1,000. If it breaks, you got to keep the broken pieces and give back a brand new vessel to the owner. Now says Shmuel, v'aniyim, and I say af l'shayil, also for a borrower, v'abba, which was an honorific that he gave for Rav, ma'idili, he agrees to me. I think I'm going to ask Ibailu that the following question. Hachi kamar. Is this what Shmuel said, af l'shayil shaman? That also for a borrower, it's just like nizakin, like damages, that you also evaluate over there, and that he only has to pay the difference? V'abba ma'idili, and it's regarding that Rav agrees to him? Maybe this is what Shmuel was saying. Vaniyamin, I say, af l'shoyl ein shaman, that also a borrower, it's going back, what's af, it's going back on the case of ganav and gazlan, you also do not evaluate. And regarding the borrower, if something happens to it, he has to give back a brand new thing to the guy who lent it to him. Va'aba moitli, and it's regarding that Rav agrees to him. So which one is af l'shoyl? Which one, that you are shaman or that you're not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, we'll bring a raya. From Rav himself, he's saying Rav agrees. So, Dahu Gavr, the Shol Nargu Mechavri, there was a certain person that borrowed an axe from his friend. Tavra, and it broke. Asla Kami, the Rav, came in front of Rav, so Amalei said to him, so you're a Shol is Chayben Ol Einsim, whatever happens to it. Zil Sholm Le Nargu Malia, go ahead and give him a brand new axe to pay it back for him. Says the Gemara, Shema Meno Ein Shaman. Obviously, you see that if Rav is agreeing to Shmuel in this halacha, by a Shol, what do we see? That Shmuel was saying that ain't shaman, that you don't evaluate, because then you wouldn't have to give him a brand new axe. Give him the broken axe and pay the difference. So you see that ain't shaman, which is like the halacha of ganav and gazlan. That the Gemara says, no, adrav, but the contrary. Because mid amr le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav, because there's an addendum to that story. From the fact that Rav Kahana Rav Asi said to Rav, this is brought in Bab Mitzid of Tzadik Vav Mabez, Dina Hachi, this is the law? He has to give him a brand new axe? Vishasik and Rav was silent. Obviously, we infer from the fact that he didn't respond to them that he really agrees to what they were asking him, that you really do evaluate generally the halacha by Shail, that he could give him the broken pieces and then just evaluate the difference regarding that, and that the Shail only has to pay the difference. Now, Itma was, we learned that Amma Ula Amr Belazar, Shaman Leganav Legasin. It says that we actually do evaluate the halacha that applies to Nizakin, applies to other types of damages, meaning through a thief and through a robber, that they're the same halacha is if it breaks, that the broken pieces go to the Nizik, and that he only has to pay the difference. Rav Papi Amar Ein Shaman, he says, like Shmuel said, that no, we don't evaluate by Ganav Legasin. They have to give a brand new thing. V'Hechos of the Gemara says the halacha is Ein Shaman Loy Leganav V'Loy Legasin. We do not evaluate for the differences to say the Nizik has to hold on to the broken pieces by a ganav and a gazan. Aval l'shoyel shaman. But regarding a shoyel, we do evaluate. He only has to give him back the broken pieces and pay the difference. Kidrav Kahana of Ravasi, like Rav Kahana and Ravasi had asked on Rav, saying, what do we mean, that's the halacha? By Yishrael, it's just like Nizakin that we are shaman. Now, Taisa explains what's the difference, what's the understanding of this halacha, why is it the Gan of Gazan is any different than other Nizakin, which we said that Shabbat Kesef, Larabbis, even Subin, that the broken pieces could go ahead and are given to the Nizik, and then he only has to pay the difference. It says, because the Pasuk says, Asher Gazal, that he has to pay back which he beheshav gzeila asher gozal, what he stole, which sounds like ancient gozal, as it was as he stole it, and therefore he has to give back the actual what he stole or the value of it, but not something like bran or something like a shabbat kesef. And Taisa brings that seemingly the pshat in Yerushalmi too, and he says that's the reason for the opinions that say that the same thing applies by a shayil, that you're not shaman, is for the same reason that since there's a liability for ainsin. So it turns out that from the moment that you took it from the owner, then you already acquired it, and it's that money that you borrowed that you're responsible for, like a gan of a gazlan, and if you have to give back that actual thing or the money of it, but you can't give back half or three quarters or whatever it is, the difference of what is that you borrowed, that's why there would be a difference in halacha from nizakin, which you could give back anything, in contrast to gan of a gazlan and maybe even shayil, that there you can't just give back the difference, rather you have to give back a complete item that you stole or that you borrowed. Now the Gemara continues with many different halachas, because we just quoted of Ula in the name of Rebbe Lazar, who he was saying that you are Shaman Lagan Magazan. So the Gemara brings now many different halachas that Va'amar Ula Am Rebbe Lazar, that Ula said in the name of Rebbe Lazar. He says that Shilya, the amniotic sac, which is the sac that the fetus is in the womb, where there's halacha that if someone miscarries, that there's halacha that you have to do the halachas that by regular birth, which have the yimei tuma, which the first 7 or 14 days are tummy, depending if it's a male or female, and then yimei tara, which then the next 40 or 80 days are considered tahar, depending if it's male or female. And the reason being is because although there wasn't a birth, there was a miscarriage, but the halacha is, although only thing that we saw coming out was the amniotic sac, the halacha is she'ein shilya b'lay velad. We know that there's no amniotic sac without a fetus in there. It just got dissolved in there. So there really was a child that came out. So the halachas of Leda, of Tumas Leda, apply. So that's generally the halacha regarding a shilya. So that explains Ula Neim Rebbe Lazar. Let's say there was an amniotic sac. She'yatzasa miktsasa b'yem rishon. Part of it came out on the first day of the miscarriage. U'miktsasa b'yem she'ini. And part of it came out on the second day. Says Ula, Mainin la min harishin. So you count from the first day. In other words, it's already from the first day that the woman was tummy. So if let's say she ended up touching something on that first day, she was tummy and she was matama that thing, even if it was a dry birth. In other words, even if there was no blood, but since part of the sac came out that day, we have to be concerned, and therefore we treat her as that first day already as the tumas leida. Now on that, Omalei Rava asked to Ula, Ma daitach? What is it your understanding that you're saying such halacha? L'chumra. Because you're saying as a stringency. You're saying that from day one already, when some of the sac came out, wasn't totally out, that whatever she touched that day is going to be tamei from the moment that some of the sac started coming out. But ask Rava, chumra da asli kulahu, the way you said the halacha, it's a stringency that could also lead to a leniency. Because the kometaris lamarishan, because you're going to start purifying her, counting from that day one. Because what are you going to do? Let's say it was a female. You're going to start counting 14 days with that first day, which therefore, any blood she's going to see on day 15, you're going to say it's already the yimei tara, it's going to be tar, but that's a leniency. Because if you would count from the second day, because maybe the majority of the child, the fetus, which was dissolved, came out on the second day, then the tahara would only start the day after that. That means on day 15, which really possibly is day 14, should be tummy. So how are you saying you count from the first day? Because there's a stringency, but that's a leniency on the other end. So Elamar Rava, rather Rava says, Lachush Cheshashas. To be concerned, you have to suspect, to say whatever she touched on day one is going to be tummy. But Mimna Le Mimanya, but you don't start counting yet the 14 days of a female, which after that, whatever she touches, the woman who gave birth, and that she has blood, is going to be tar, is ela l'sheni. It's only from the second day. Because maybe it came out on the second day, and therefore you have to be stringent on both ends. Now, if so, the Gemara asks, then my kamash malan, then what is the chiddush that Ula is teaching us? That he's saying you have to be concerned from day one. What would he be teaching? The aim mixes shal yibalei v'lad. He's coming, he would be telling you that because you don't have, although the whole thing didn't come out on day one, but you never have that part of an amniotic sac without part of the fetus dissolved inside of it. And that's why Ula would be telling you that you have to be concerned, because maybe a majority of the child went out in that part of the sac that came out on day one. Now, from the moment that the majority of the fetus comes out, it's like he's considered born. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph, even if it comes out in different parts, it's only until the majority comes out that we consider it as born. Now, as Rashi points out, you still, however, don't count from day one, because maybe the majority of it didn't come out up until day two. Now, moreover, Rashi says, it has to be that's what Ula's teaching, name of Belazar, that it's not possible to have any sac without any fetus inside of it. Because if it was possible to have a shilya without a vlad in it, then actually we would not even be concerned as a chashash to be metama the taharis from day one. Why? Because that much we wouldn't be stringent to taste two stringencies, because it would be a svek svek, it's a double doubt. Because first of all, you have to say maybe it came out, maybe part of the fetus, maybe not. Because even though some of the sac came out, if you would say that sac could come without a child, maybe it didn't. And moreover, you would have to then entertain that even if it did come out, maybe the majority of it came out. Because it's only by the majority that the woman gets tumas later. So therefore, you can't entertain that, because we wouldn't say that's tumah. So rather, must be, what is Rabbi Elazar teaching us? That must be, there's only one suffix. Did the majority come out or not? Because once any part of the sac comes out, part of the child did come out. So now the Gemara asks if that's what he's teaching. But Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah of Masechtas Chulin. The Mishnah there teaches Shilya regarding the sac of an animal. Shiatzasa miktsasa, that some of the sac came out before the animal was slaughtered. So the halacha is asur ba'achila. So that whole sac is forbidden to be consumed, even if there's no fetus or child inside of that sac. Why? Simin vlad be'isha, simin vlad be'behema. In other words, because just like the shilya, the sac, is a sign of birth by a woman, so too it's a sign of birth by an animal, which is this halacha, because there's no shilya without a vlad. There's no sac without a child, without a fetus inside of it. It's just that it got dissolved. So therefore, we're concerned that maybe that little bit that came out before the animal was slaughtered, maybe that was the majority of the fetus. And that, we know the halacha is that if the majority of the child came out, then it's like it's born. And therefore, it's not permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. In other words, if the fetus never came out, although there's a child inside of it, the halacha is when you slaughter the animal, even what's found inside is permitted to be consumed. But if it was born, then it wasn't in the mother when it was slaughtered, and therefore then it's forbidden because it was born already. So even though it comes back in, but it was already born, it's not going to be permitted. So says the Mishnah, Masechtas Chulin, that if part of it comes out, then it's going to be forbidden to eat it. Why? Because obviously we're assuming that when the shilya comes out, there's a possibility of a vlad, and maybe the majority came out, maybe not. So you already know this halacha, so what's Ula teaching us? So the Gemara says, even masnitin, if we only had the Mishnah Masechtas Chulin, havamina, I would have thought to say, as we continue on Tamid Beis, the yesh mikzah shilya b'loy vlad. Actually, I would have entertained that it's possible that part of a sack could come out without a child. Now, in spite of that, the Mishnah Masechtas Chulin is saying that it would be forbidden to eat that sack, which is found in the animal, which part of it came out before it's slaughtered, after it's slaughtered. Why? Well, didn't we just say that it's a svek sveka and we wouldn't be chayshish for such a thing? Because first of all, you'd have to entertain maybe some of the child came out, maybe not, because he's saying it's possible that it could. And moreover, then you'd have to entertain that it's a majority, and that explains the Gemara, because ugzeru miktsasa atu kula. It would be for a different reason that you can't eat that sack after the animal is slaughtered, as a ugzeru, because when part of it comes out, for a case when all of it comes out. In other words, this that the Mishnah there says, a simen vlad, the fetus, the sac coming out is a sign of a fetus, is not going on the case that it's discussing over there regarding when part of it comes out. Because it's not necessarily. When part of the sac comes out, maybe none of the fetus came out. Rather, what it's saying is that the reason why it's forbidden to eat it in the case of the Mishnah is because of when all of the sac would come out. Because then people are going to come to say, that there's no fetus inside over there. I remember once that a sack came out, part of it, went back in, and they ate it. Now the problem is, they're not going to be able to differentiate between when part of it comes out and all of it comes out. Now the problem is, when all of it comes out and then it goes back in, then they're going to permit it to be eaten with the slaughtering of the mother, and they're really going to be eating in the vela, because that's not, that shechita of the mother is not working on the child. Because there, that's definitely a simen vlad be'isha, is the same thing as simen vlad be'behema. When all of the sac comes out, yes, then definitely there's going to be a vlad inside that shilya. But So therefore, that's what we could have entertained to say in the case of the Mishnah over there. Not because that there is Mikzah Shilya, that in every Shilya there is a Vlad, just because of Atu, a case when all of it would come out, they wouldn't differentiate. Now, however, Rashi addresses, however, in contrast to the case of a woman, there we don't have to make such a similar gezeira of Mikzah's Atu Kula to say that we should be Mitami, the Taharis of the first day, because Atu, then people might say the same thing is even on a time when all of it comes out. And therefore, that's why there's this difference in halacha, because no, there's no gezeira atu kula, because there people see when on day two, when all of it comes out, that we are metamed. So they realize when all of it comes out, that definitely is going to be a child. But on day one, maybe we would say that when part of it came out, that then actually, maybe there's no tumah. Kamash malon, that's what Ula is teaching name of Rabbi Elazar, that no. It's not possible to have mixed shilya vlad. Whenever even part of it comes out, part of a child is in there. The only question is it the majority or not? That's where we're stringent. We say because of that one suffix, we're going to be tama from day one. But from the Mishnah alone, yes, that is the interpretation according to the conclusion. The reason why is because we know for sure when part of it comes out, for sure part of it came out. Part of the vlad. The only question is if it's the majority or not. That's why the animal, that fetus, that sack is forbidden to be eaten. But without Ula, we would have thought it's for a different reason as a gezeira. That's why we need Ula to tell you that no, it's actually because of ein mikzah shilya b'lo vlad. Any part of the sack has to have a child, a fetus, inside of it. And therefore, that's why it's usher in both these cases, because maybe it was the majority and maybe not. Another halacha from the Amma Ula Amr Belazer says, b'chor shenitraf, a firstborn son that was killed b'toich lamed yom, before he reached 30 days old, says Ula ein paid noisa. So they don't have to redeem him as the halacha is of Pinya Ben by the firstborn son. You give the five slum to the Kayin. Now, as Rashi points out, because if it's talking about when he was killed, because if he died by himself, you don't have to say that you don't have to redeem him, because the Pasuk says, Mamibu Yudchas, Ufiduyiv mi ben chaydish tefta. The redemption is only once he reaches a month old. But now in this case, there is a chiddush over here that you shouldn't say, what do you mean? Had he not been murdered, he for sure would have lived 30 days because he's not a nafel, he's not someone that wouldn't have survived, and therefore you would have to redeem him. In contrast, when he dies by himself, obviously he wasn't a survivable type of a child. He's a nafel, someone really basically that was a miscarriage, just came out and then died. So the chiddush that Ula is saying is that even if he was killed, if he didn't reach a month old, you don't have to redeem him. It says, because Metech Shenema, the Pasuk says, Mamidbar, Podoi Tifta, where it says in the Pasuk, Ach Podoi Tifta es Bachar Adam. But however, you should surely redeem the firstborn of man, where the redundancy, Podoi Tifta, tells us, Yochal Afila Nitra Patech Lamayim. I would think in all circumstances, you have to redeem the firstborn son, even if he's killed within 30 days. Tamaloma Ach, but that's why the Pasuk begins with an Ach. However, which is the term of a mir, of exclusion, which is chalak, it differentiates and says it's only if he reaches 30 days, but if he's killed beforehand, there's no requirement of pidyon haben. V'amar Ula Amar Belazer, another halacha from Ula Amar Belazer, says, Behema gasa niknas b'meshicha. If someone wants to purchase a large animal, it can be acquired by drawing the animal to the when the purchaser draws it to himself. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'anan t'nan, we learned in the Mishnah at first parak Masechet Kedushin that says, b'mesira, that it's acquired by handing over. In other words, once the seller hands over the reins to the purchaser, he has already acquired it, even though he doesn't draw the actual animal from the domain of the seller to himself. So why is Ula saying that it's with Meshicha? And I think Gemara says, Huda amakei tana detani, so he holds like a different tana, which would learn the Raisa. The Chachamim and the sages say that's who Ula is going like, zu vizu. Both a large animal and a small animal is acquired by Meshicha by drawing it to your domain. That's how you acquire it. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Eimer, he says, Zubazu Bagboy, actually says both the small animal and the large animal you acquire by picking it up, which the Gemara there in Masechtas Kedushin explains how do you acquire like an elephant by picking it up. You can't pick it up, is that you put these ropes underneath the leg of the elephant, and by elevating itself over that, that's considered Hagbah to acquire the large animal. Va'amar Ula Amar Belazer, another halacha from Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar, says, Achen shecholku, when brothers are dividing the estate of their father, Masha lehin shaman, whatever they're even wearing gets evaluated. What? Where'd you get your clothing from? Tati bought it for you. So that's how much. You have this beautiful suit and tie. That's coming off. You're part of the estate. But Mashal b'nei nu b'nei sein ain't shaman. But the clothing that their own sons and daughters, I mean the grandchildren, are wearing, that we don't evaluate to say, oh, your daughter is wearing that. That's coming off. That we don't do because we don't degrade them to have to bring the children, the grandchildren, to court. It's only the sons and that are coming to court anyway. So then we evaluate what they're wearing as coming off their part of the inheritance. Now, Amar Papa, he says, Pa'amim af mashalein insham. He says, sometimes even what the children themselves who are splitting up the estate, even what they're wearing doesn't become evaluated as coming off their part of the inheritance. Mishkachas la begodel achid, that would happen in the case of when the oldest brother, who he's busy taking care of the estate to make sure what comes in, what goes out, he's in charge of everything. Denichalahu, where the other brothers are preferable, they want that the oldest brother who's taking care of the affairs of the estate should be wearing nice clothing. So that the lishtamo and mile, that people listen to him. A dignified, respectable guy comes into the office, you listen to him, versus a guy comes in like a shlamazel, he doesn't look dressed appropriately, so therefore that doesn't come off his part of the inheritance. It's an expense of the account, of the company, of the inheritance. That would be even something that he's wearing wouldn't come off from his part. V'amma ula amir b'lazer, another halacha from ula name of b'lazer, says, shaymir shemasel is shaymir pater. Regarding if somebody was given over the owner to watch his thing, then that custodian gives it over to another person that he says, look, I have to watch this for this guy. You watch it for me to watch for him. So on that says, Ula, the first guy is going to be exempt with whatever halachas he would have been exempt if he was watching it himself. He's going to be exempt now too. And the chiddush in that is that we don't say it's a negligence, which any shomer is chayev, even the shomer chinam, for negligence, but that you gave it over to another person. What, I asked you to watch it. You gave it over to him. That's a negligence. That says Ula that not. You're exempt just like whatever happened to you. Let's say it was an oinus and you'd be exempt. So too, if you give it over to someone else to watch and it's an oinus, you'd be exempt. Moreover, says Ula, and I don't have to tell you, I don't have to tell you that if, let's say, someone is watching it for free, you're not paying me anything, who gives it over to a shemesacher, who he's a type of a custodian who gets paid for his work, where if, let's say, it gets stolen or gets lost, where a shomer chinam, who watched it for free, he's exempt. So just like he'd be exempt if he was watching it, if let's say it gets stolen or lost by the shomer sacher, he's still going to be exempt because he wasn't negligent. Now for sure there, I don't have to tell you, says Ula, that he's going to be exempt. The iluye alay lishmirase, because he actually upgraded the watching that he's doing for this person's animal, because a shomer sacher, who gets paid for his job, he puts in more effort than someone who's watching it for free. And that's actually why the Torah says that he's liable for a higher level of even Geneva and Veda, even if it's stolen, which a Shem Echinim is exempt. Shem Esachar is chayim because we expect more from you. You're getting paid for it. So there, if your Shem Echinim gives over to Shem Esachar, of course he's going to be exempt, says Ula, because he upgraded the watching. But says Ula, Elafila Shem Esachar, Shem Asla Shem Echinim. But even if a Shem Esachar, who's getting paid for his job, asks his friend, he's getting paid for it, but asks his friend, do me a favor. He's not paying him. Watch this for me. I'm going somewhere. Where even though the hashda garuyi gari lishmirasa, he downgraded the watching. Because I guess I'm doing this guy a favor. Okay, I'll watch it, but I'm not doing anything more than not being negligent. Still, says Ula, nami patra. The shemisacha will still be exempt on what? He's always chayv in Geneva Veda. He'll be exempt on an oinus. So let's say something beyond the control happened to his friend who's watching it for him for free. Just like he would be exempt by oinus, he's exempt if an oinus happens to his friend, the shemichinam. And the balabais cannot tell him, what do you mean? You were negligent by giving it over to somebody else. That's not true. Shayim Masla Ben Das. He gave it over to an intelligent human being, although he wasn't getting paid for it, even though I downgraded the Shmira, but I'm doing my job. If an Einus happens, I'm going to be exempt. Yeah, Gneva Vedam always Chaya for anyway. But regarding the fact that I gave it over to even a lower level of Shmira, I'm still going to be exempt, according to Ula. Now, Rav Amar, he disagrees, and he goes the other way around. He says, Shayim Shemasla Shayimir Chayim. He says, if a Shayimir, one custodian gives over to another one, he's liable always, even if an oinus happens, where normally he would be exempt. Why? Says Rava, the loymi boy, I don't have to tell you, shemesh sacher, shemasla, shemechinam, when a shemesh sacher, who's getting paid for it, gives it over to a shemechinam, I don't have to tell you that there he's going to be chayiv. Because the guru, yigar l'shemirasai, that's not what I'm paying. That was a total negligence. So therefore, even if an oinus happens, that's not going to exempt you. You're always going to be liable because you didn't do the shmira that I expected of you. I paid you. That's a high standard. You're giving it to your friend who's doing it for you for a freebie. That's not doing an appropriate shmira. And therefore, you're chayiv even on the oinus. Ela fila, but says Rava even more than that. He says, even if a guy who's watching it for free pays somebody a shemisacha to watch it who's a higher level of shmira, still, says Rava, he's going to be chayiv. Why? Because the Amalek, because the owner who gave it to the Shem Echinim, is going to tell him, At mehamnis li b'shvua. I trust you and you swear to me that you weren't negligent. I believe you. And therefore, that's when you would exempt yourself. When you say you weren't negligent, fine. I asked you to watch Shavuot free. I understand that the only thing is negligence. And if you swear, I believe you. And that's why I gave you to watch it. Hi, Lemehem, Libish, with that guy, I don't believe him when he swears to me. I don't know who he is. The fact that he's swearing that he wasn't negligent or that he, whatever it is that was an einus, I don't believe him. And therefore, that's a total negligence on your part. And you're going to be chayiv even in einus, even though you gave it as you, Hashem Echinim, to Hashem Esachar. So that's Machlik is Rava and Ula regarding Hashem, Hashem Asar, L'Hashem. Another halacha of Amar Ula, Amar Belazar, he says, Hilchasa Goivin, the halacha is that you could collect a debt. So if somebody owes you money and doesn't have money, you could take his slave as payment. So Amli Rav Nachman L'Ula, Rav Nachman said to Ula, Amar Rav Elazar Afil Miyasmi? This halacha that you're saying over in the name of Elazar, did he say it that even if, let's say, the borrower died, and now the estate fell in front of the orphans, did Rav Elazar say that the creditor could collect from slaves as just like, because you can't collect from orphans anything but karka? So is he saying that you could even collect from the orphan slave? Because you're saying that Abdi is Kimikar Koi Dami, that slaves are like land? So on that, Ula answered him like, no. What this halacha was saying over the name of Rabbi Elazar was Minei, from the borrower himself. That's what Rabbi Elazar was saying, that the creditor could collect from slaves. So on that, the question is, Minei, from the debtor himself? Afil Maglimin Dal Kasu, you could take the shirt off his back. He owes you money. So whatever he has, you could take. What's the chiddush then in saying that a creditor could collect from slaves? So that will answer the Hocham HaEskin. What we're talking about over here was Sha'asoi Apoitiki, where the borrower had made his slave into an Apoitiki, which stands for the words Apoi Tehei Koi. Over here is where it should be. In other words, from here, the slave is where you should collect from. Now, that is what Ula said, that Rebbe Elazar was being mechadish and saying that if, let's say, he then goes and sells that slave, that the creditor could still go ahead and collect from that slave, even though it was sold off. Okay, the Rebbe, like Rebbe says, Dama Rebbe says, Asa av avdei apaytiki umachri. Let's say someone borrows money from someone. He says, how am I going to know you're going to pay me up? He says, this slave, he's worth the amount that you lend me. If I don't pay up, you could collect from him. And then a few days later, he goes and sells the slave and gets money for it. Says Rava, Bal Chayiv Goy Vehemenu, the creditor could collect from that slave even though he sold him. But Shayra, in contrast, let's say Shayra Apaytiki Machar, let's say he makes his ox into an Apaytiki, saying, yeah, this ox is worth the amount that you lent me, and here's where you could collect it from, and then he sells it off. Ein Bal Chayiv Goy Vehemenu, then the creditor cannot collect from that ox. Now, my time, what's the reason? What's the difference? Which again, that's the chiddush that Ula is saying, that Rav Elazar was saying, that an Evid could be collected from even when it's an Apaytiki, meaning even when it's sold off, in contrast to, let's say, a Shayra. Because ha is like kala. An eved, the word gets out that he is owed to that guy. Which means that if the debtor doesn't pay up, everyone knows that this slave is going to then be owned by that guy. So if someone goes and buys it, you, the purchaser, should have known better, because you know if he's going to default, the lender is going to come and collect, that's where he could go ahead and collect, even from the lekeach. But v'hallas like kala, an ox, if this guy has 100 oxen, you don't know ox number, they don't have names, you don't know who's who. And therefore, since there's no word about that, how could a consumer know any better? Therefore, we don't hold him responsible, and therefore then the lender cannot go ahead and collect, even though it was his apaytiki. But therefore, that's how Ula answered Rav Nachman. No, it's not about Yusayimim. It's about the debtor himself. What's a chiddush? Chiddush, you could take from the debtor anything. No, even if he sells it off to someone else, but as long as it was an apaytiki, you go ahead and collect it from them. Now, however, the Gemara continues on top of Yibezim and Aleph. Labasa did Nafik, after Rav Nachman left, who he was the one that questioned Ula on this halacha that he said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Amalahu Ula, Ula said to those who were sitting in front of him, he said, Hachi Amar Rabbi Elazar. Actually, this is what Rabbi Elazar said, that Afilim Yasmi. The truth is, this halacha that I said that you could collect from an Eved, from a slave, wasn't just from the Baal Chayiv himself, it's even from the orphans. And the reason being is because, yes, a slave has the halacha as karka. And just like you could collect from orphans land, you could collect from them slaves too. Now, Amr of Nachman, when Rav Nachman heard that this is what Ula said, after he denied, and he said, no, he didn't say it by orphans. It was only for the debtor. So he said, debtor? Well, what's the chiddush? He says, oh, when it was napaytik and he sold it off. But then when Rav Nachman heard that Ula really then later said that it was even for orphans, and that was the chiddush of the halacha, so he said, Ishtamtin Ula. Ula was avoiding me. In other words, he was afraid of me, because Rav Nachman held that Avda is Kimatat Lidam. He held that a slave, it has the same halacha as a movable item. And therefore, what he was saying was that Ula was afraid of me, that I'm going to ask him a whole bunch of questions and proofs, and I'm going to show him that Avde is kemetavli dummy, then he's not going to have what to say, and therefore how could he say from Rabbi Elazar that the creditor could collect from slaves, even from the orphans, and therefore he avoided me, and he was evasive, and he said, no, it was only from him, and he explained to me in a different way what the case was talking about to say a chiddush, but really he held that it was even from the orphans, and because he holds Avde kemakarka dummy, but he didn't tell me, because I hold Avde kemetavli dummy, and I would have brought him proofs, and he wouldn't have had what to answer, and that's why he avoided me and didn't tell me that it was even from the orphans.